Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast. Very exciting episode today. We have a returning guest in Mr. Ben Flanagan. Ben, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm stoked to be relevant enough to get a second episode.
Very nice.
Such good memories from the first one.
God, it was miserable.
Our favorite training.
It was miserable. Raining, freezing cold.
It's crazy to think that's probably over, no, not probably, definitely 2 years old now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe that's January.
I couldn't think in my head for some reason. Ollie, were you on that episode or was that when you hit the Miro's flu?
When I was cooked because I drank out of the body.
Was that
cup?
Week?
No, I think it was
Alicia.
Ollie was there.
Alicia was the week after, and I think I was crook because I drank out of the Wanamaker Mile Cup. And this
it must have been before because the shoe testing was before.
Yeah, it was. Before.
That's what you were there for, huh?
Yeah,
shoe testing.
I came for shoe testing, and then you guys all lit it up like a week later at Milrose.
Yeah, Ben had the good option of getting out of there.
He had an escape plan.
I can't believe they made you go down there.
No, I mean at that time it's like I just signed, so I was like classic giddy about doing anything. Yeah, and I'm based in Ann Arbor, so a trip to Orlando sounded good. On paper it sounded like it was going to be nice.
Well, we have so much to talk about today. We are going to be previewing the 10, catching up on some of the highlights from NCAAs, and of course some more freaking annoying Jingy Josh Kerr news. But before that, we're going to do all things Ben Flanagan. And to start it off, we do have a very personal Bean shout out. Ben and his father-in-law have gifted us many treats. First off, we have this bag of beans. Do you want to explain where you got these from, Ben?
Yeah, this is a Coffee Obsession, normally called Coffee O. It is from Falmouth, Massachusetts, little town, you know, just in case anyone's never heard, I've run that race a couple times.
the mayor of Falmouth is here.
So, that's my wife and her in-laws family. They're from Falmouth. So they've got a spot right downtown and then one, like maybe, I don't know, 50 meters from the start line. But the first time I ran Falmouth, I had a triple espresso right before the race. That's usually what I do. I got off the bus and I was like literally about to piss my pants. The most I've ever had to pee.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a point-to-point course, right?
Yeah.
So you take a bus, it's really long, about to pee. I jump off and I like go straight to the bushes and I drop my triple espresso before taking a single sip. It's gone. But luckily, coffee.
Devastating.
Yeah. There was one right by the start line. I grabbed that. Good to go.
Amazing.
Nice.
Good memories.
Yeah.
And then we also had this big box come in. Do you want to explain what's in here while we rustle through it and see what gifts are in here?
I'm not certain. I'm guessing there'll be some Falmouth memorabilia, which is might be what that is. Falmouth Road Race mug.
51st running?
Yep.
Has that happened? Was last year 51st?
Yeah, 51st would have been last year. 2 years ago was the 50th. So they give out mugs every year to the runners. So Scott, my father-in-law, he's got like a cupboard full of like 6,000 mugs. And then he also owns a candy store downtown on Main Street in Falmouth, which, spoiler alert, you might find some of that in there.
This is like show and tell.
Yeah.
This one.
There you go.
This one's more coffee. Cape Cod coffee.
Oh, yeah. That's they sponsor the road race.
That makes sense why it's called Falmouth Road Race Runner's Roast.
Yeah, there you go.
Amazing. What's this called? Gelfie's?
Yeah, so that's Hannah's maiden name. Well, Hannah's name is actually still Gelfie. She hasn't changed it yet. So.
Is she going to change it?
Yeah. At least that's what she told me.
TBD.
I guess at this point, who knows? She hasn't changed it yet.
Seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, right? They don't make it easy.
Oh, no, amazing. Particularly for athletes, because like a couple of our teammates, like Sage and Josette, have had like told us like the, like particularly when you're competing, you have to like change your name for what athletics and like your bibs and stuff.
Yeah. New license, new passport.
New passport.
I don't think that you, to run with the different name, I don't think you actually have to change it. I think you can just tell them.
Like, oh, probably.
Because you did the Geordie.
I did make that.
You did make that request.
Oh, nice.
But not that that's got anything to do with it. But I don't think you have to legally, to be able to put like, I think Sage, like, I think she just puts Hurdleclick. I don't know. That's like.
Honestly, Hurdleclick is such a good like mix up. It's just.
Mash up.
She made sure she got
collab
in first.
Yeah, great collab.
That's a great collab. Well, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, what's Josette's maiden name?
Norris.
Norris.
So Norris Andrews? Actually, that's not bad. That's not bad.
She races as Norris Andrews, doesn't she?
I think she just races Andrews.
I think yeah. just
Andrews. She's just Josette Andrews now.
I know her as Norris Andrews. Maybe I'll just be making that up.
Maybe.
That does sound like you might have made that one.
Oops. Oh, well. Well, Ben, and to your family, thank you so much for these great gifts. We're very excited to enjoy them.
Scott's a huge fan of the pod.
Shout out to Scott.
Yeah.
His candy is going to be demolished after this podcast.
Will we be invited to the race one day as a podcast?
I would say you're probably invited right now if you want it.
Yeah.
When is it again? September.
Unofficially August. Speaking, on behalf of the Falmouth organization, it's the third Sunday of August every year.
Okay.
They do have a mile on the track.
Okay. True.
And then they have the 7 miler 2 days later.
It does seem like a very cool race. Mm.
The milers are always ready to party too. It's like gong show downtown after the race because it's so late in the season, right?
All right.
Kind of tough timing now with the with the Worlds always being late as well, but I would love to squeeze that in if we can.
Yeah, yeah. It went really well for my career because I didn't ever make teams, so I could always go to the Falmouth Road Race. But now that I've been making teams, it's a lot harder to.
It's a good backup plan.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to enjoy it. You got to experience both sides of it now.
100%.
You get the.
I remember. I feel like you said that you were like, I hope to not be here next year.
Yeah, yeah.
But. It's a great plan B.
It's a good way to, you know, shake off.
I mean, that's how you met your wife, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. So, everything happens for a reason.
100%.
Exactly.
Well, Ben, we've loved having you out here training with us for a few weeks leading into this 10K. And overall, you've had an amazing, amazing start to this year. You've already notched off the Olympic stat in the 5K. But also, you're joining us with some very exciting new news today, if you'd like to share it with the world.
Yeah, 100%. So as of pretty recently, just signed a extension with On.
Clap sound effect.
Yeah.
We haven't got that on the thing yet, but everyone clap. Everyone clap at home.
Appreciate that, yeah. Super stoked. It's something that I knew... I wanted to do for a while. Like I've just always had a really good experience with the brand. So we got on it pretty early and we're able to seal the deal. So, I'm locked in now until, LA 2028.
Sheesh.
Yeah. So
gonna be an old man.
Gonna be an old man.
We'll be old man by then.
100%. And it's, yeah, I mean, honestly, who knows how things change, but it could be like through the rest of my career. So especially as a marathoner, once I do that for 4 years, I'll probably want to quit the sport anyways. So
makes sense.
Congratulations,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, congrats, man.
That's awesome. Very exciting.
Yeah. Very, very happy to see a good guys on top, you know?
I appreciate that.
We had a brief mention beforehand that I feel like extensions in other sports is always quite a public announcement and like a big deal. I feel like we should start making a bigger deal and running. That's sweet.
The only one that was made a big deal was annoyingly Noah Lyles.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't.
It's the only one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny.
The funny thing is that with a lot of sports, when you look at the extension, they tell you how much it is. And with Noah Lyles, it's like, he signed a breakthrough massive deal, but you can't know what it is. No one knows what it is. So that's kind of like a bit of a downer. But
I mean, if no one else has signed an extension yet, this is... probably the biggest extension contract since Noah Lyles' announcement.
Yeah.
So true.
So that's on our podcast.
First.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I brought it up to you the day after Noah Lyles' extension. I was like, this is going to sound a lot less impressive now as of yesterday. But yeah. But anyways, now it's out there. I'm pumped. An IG post will be coming sometime before or after, probably at the same time as this release, maybe.
Wow.
If we can really get our ducks lined up, but we'll see.
Yeah, lovely.
We'll start working on that immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Try line up the scheduling. But yeah, we do want to just kind of get into how you've been enjoying your time here and all that leading into this 10K race. From my point of view, which is often right next to you, it seems like you've been knocking off some really good training.
Yeah. It's been very positive. I've had a really good time. It's interesting. Like, first of all, it's been like really easy because of how accommodating the group has been and Dathan, because, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. But for those that don't know, I talked to Ronnie, talked to your guys' group, and basically just like slid into workouts. And I'm staying 45 minutes away, so I drive in for workouts, do all the easy stuff by myself. But the first workout here was that the fartlek.
Mm.
And that went great. I was like, dang, I'm going to like crush it here. And then like a week later, I was like, I can't finish this workout. So it was like...
That's the altitude. That's the altitude. It comes to bite you in the ass.
100%. So it's been a good like progress because, yeah, I've been able to kind of like make some adjustments because the workouts are hard, obviously. And you guys are all like, because you guys have such a good group, you know, guys are ready to fire on every workout day. So that's become pretty obvious. But I mean, nothing's been that crazy of a difference. The last two workouts, I've finally been able to do like all of them, which has been a big confidence boost. I'm excited to see the outcome on the other side. But if there's any like main takeaway, the biggest adjustment is like you guys have a pretty like, for lack of a better term, intense like cadence. You know, it's like I'm used to probably a couple more days easy in between sessions, but it's like the, what would it have been? Like the Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, like two workouts in long run within that span. That can knock you on your ass a bit.
It can, yeah.
Which I'm sure you guys have gotten pretty used to it. But for coming here the first time, I was like, damn, like, especially if you're going on that Tuesday long run, it's like, after 1 week of that, I was like, okay, maybe next week I have to like skip one of these because it's a lot of volume and a lot of work.
That's interesting. I didn't really expect you to say that.
That's my biggest takeaway because we are pretty much always 2 days between everything.
Does that mean basically a 9 day cycle?
Like kinda.
Hard session, 2 days easy. Hard session, 2 days. So it's always like that's 3 days. So kind of like two workouts.
Yeah. The one thing that we might switch is sometimes we do the second workout in the long run back to back. And then that gives you like long run 2 days workout. So then you have like a 3 day break until your next session. So yeah. I mean, again, who knows? It could be the altitude as well. But I felt like every other day I was waking up and I was like, oh shit, I got to like get up for this. Like it's another, like we got another day. Right. So,
especially for you, cause you had to drive 45 minutes each way. So you really had to get off.
Yeah.
You really had to get off.
Yeah. And if I would do it all again, I'd probably be a bit closer, but, lots of podcasts. But it's been good. The drives are pretty. So that helps. Mm-hmm. By the end of 6 weeks, I'll probably be ready to, not get, in
get
the
out of here.
A
little
bit. How about the, like obviously, yeah, the cycle has been different. How about the lack of double threshold training?
I have not missed double threshold at all.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, so the threshold days, I would say we would usually double it up, but our paces aren't quite as intense. Like, because the other day, Morgan, we were probably running like 455s for like 8 minute reps.
Yeah.
We'd probably be closer. Well, it depends. Like our morning session is usually quite good. And then the evening session might be a little bit, I don't know, less structured. It's kind of just what you have on the day. But we get pretty, I mean, you guys get a lot of volume in on everything. So it's like, I don't really feel like I'm missing out on any threshold in the week. Cause it's like every workout day, you're probably walking away with what? Like 13 to.
They've been especially big lately.
Yeah.
Doing 10K style training.
And then you toss the threshold.
Oh, 1500 meter training. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have a lot of threshold though, like within every workout. So it's like, you're getting like, I know Hobbs, for example, he like kind of treats his threshold as like a checkbox. There's a threshold of threshold. He likes to do whatever. I don't know.
So many miles a week or something.
Exactly. I don't know what the number would be. Probably like 15, let's say 15 miles a threshold a week. So it's like, if you do it off of that way, you don't have to necessarily do it like double in one day. If you do it throughout the week, the way you guys do it, like the workout we did the other day, you would probably end up with 3 to 4 miles a threshold in it. So you're kind of always doing it, which is this, I don't know. It's like nice to have one day dedicated to it. Sure. The only benefit I find is that like when you go to your VO2 day, you can really just like dial in on that because it's like completely separated from the threshold day.
We don't separate. We mix together a lot of our workouts. So like, I guess coming from my experience, like with the workouts the past few years, they've mostly been like threshold and then something fast or like threshold and some VO2. Like there's never like just threshold.
But I don't hate that.
There is often just threshold.
Never is inaccurate, but you're right. You're right.
Rarely now. Sorry. Like when we're in the meat of the season.
More, yeah.
Yeah. In the meat of the season, rarely now. But maybe earlier on when we're getting back into things, there's a bit more threshold there. Sorry.
Yeah. So you guys would never combined?
Oh, we did. I mean, once we shifted to the double threshold, we've gone pretty all in on it. And those days are pretty much like, yeah, we don't mix at all. We might do like hills. Sometimes we'll do like, I don't know, 6 by mile in the morning, and then in the evening we'll do like 10 by 200 meter hill, like, but not super intense. But that's more when we're like getting bored, or like I literally can't do case again. So we'll tell Ronnie just to give us something different.
I like that.
So, but yeah, normally like an example, probably the best one we did was like 24 by a quarter in the morning, and then like 6 by mile at night. And that's kind of nice because even if it's like threshold, you're still running like 67s. So you actually feel like you're still like moving a bit at sea level, keep in mind. But it's good. Everything here, nothing has like shocked me. Nothing's been nuts. The mile repeats the other day were very hard, just at altitude. That was a pretty big adjustment. And the VO2 stuff took a lot of getting used to. Like the first week here, when we did the quarters, trying to finish in 60, I was like, got through 200. I was like, I'm literally going to collapse on the track if I try to finish this rep. So, but that's gotten a lot better over time. Mm.
Yeah, you're based at sea level most of the year. So coming up to altitude definitely changes it up. And quite a few of the workouts that we've been doing lately, I would say, have been especially hard for like sea level people.
Yeah.
Just like when it has the shorter recovery, or we did this crazy 200 on, 200 off. Wait, yeah. Was it
30-40,
which that would probably to me be like the hardest workout to do at altitude. And
yeah, anything where you jog 100 or 200 meters at like
fast, yeah,
40. What did we say that was? I think it's like 5:20 pace.
Yeah,
you had to jog 100.
That was our recovery
into a massive. Yeah, it was like 30 mile an hour winds that day.
Was one I had to adjust. And after whatever rep four, where like I cut because you guys did like six straight, I did like four and or seven. I did like four and two and. I was literally hyperventilating when I went by Dathan, and I don't think he meant to, but he actually like, I think he like let out a chuckle, like it like cracked him up. He was just laughing. Yeah.
He does love like, or he loves just seeing people work hard. You know, he's like, oh yeah, good. This is a hard session.
Oh, I was hurting.
And I think that is like, we don't have many sessions that aren't just basically like key sessions. I feel like there's no session that's like super low volume or.
Unless you're tapering for a race.
Yeah, not many easy.
Yeah. Every workout is normally like a pretty big one.
Yeah. I was shocked about how short a lot of the rest is that you guys take. Because like everything, I talked to some physiologists before coming up here, and number one rule was like double your rest in the first workout here.
Halved the rest.
I was out the window. I was like, well, sorry, buddy. This is what we're doing today.
That's funny. But it's been really cool to see how you operate and how, especially how much flexibility you have in deciding your own schedule. Like just being able to come here, like being coached by Ronnie, being part of Very Nice, but still having the autonomy to be able to do what you want. And it's been nice to see like you have a really good setup with like your Airbnb and like the family here and all that. Is it like that for everyone on your team? Because one question that we had initially, I don't know if I ever asked you this, I probably did, is like why you chose to come here rather than Flagstaff with like Hobbs, for example.
Yeah, I get that asked quite a bit. The first answer is totally, like everybody has a lot of flexibility. It's really up to the athlete in terms of like how much they, I guess, like exercise that right. Like some people like to just stay put. That's pretty uncommon. Like guys move around a decent bit, but it's like Ronnie's so flexible and definitely has a bit more of like a what's the word I'm looking for? He cares about things outside of running going well. He thinks that helps with your running. So he's always asking about your relationships, you know, how things are at home. That's like a big part of what he thinks like just keeps you in check.
Perspective.
Yeah. And keep in mind, a really good example of this is Willis throughout his career. He traveled with his family everywhere. So it's like every single race he went to, Diamond Leagues, he had his wife and kid, maybe two kids. Yeah.
Riz was the same. Riz would travel with his fucking dog.
Yeah.
His pug Monster. He'd travel with him to most meets domestically. So it does make a lot of sense.
Totally.
To just overall utility, yeah.
And if you're a coach that sees that and sees an athlete excel off of it, then I guess you're likely to think like, okay, well, there might be something here. So anyways, we're lucky to have that privilege. And keep in mind, like, Very Nice isn't like we don't have any strings attached, right? So it's like we all have our own sponsors, our own budgets. So there's no like, there's no actual like structured obligation, which I guess is a bit more of like the background of why it works as well. Why I chose to come here, I mean, there wasn't like any like clear cut reason. It was kind of just a bunch of small reasons. Our group, like, the individual stuff is great, but the problem you could imagine is when you have four guys that all do what they want, sometimes it's hard to like get in sync, right? So it's like if Hobbs wants to be in Flagstaff at this time, Mason wants to be in Flagstaff at that time, and I want to be there at another time, it gets tough to coordinate. So it seemed like leading up to the 10, I was going to be on my own schedule. So I kind of just was like, okay, I'm going to just plan this like I'm not going to overlap with anybody, because that happens sometimes. And that's the case. None of those guys are in Flag right now. So even if I was there, I wouldn't have any training partners. I drove out here, which was a 30-hour drive from Cape Cod. 20 hours from Ann Arbor. You know, obviously not like a necessarily recommended approach for most athletes, but a big part of coming here is I wanted to make sure my wife was here, my dogs as well. And, you know, Boulder or Colorado Golden, where I am, is 10 hours closer than Flagstaff. So it's going to be a 40-hour drive from Cape Cod. So it doesn't seem like a lot when you're already going 30, but I didn't really want to add another 10. And then, yeah, Hannah's not a runner, and she's never been to Colorado. It was something I could kind of get her on board with. She was excited about it. And for me, I was like, okay, let me reach out to you guys, see if there's an option here. And once that, like, once I got the green light for that, I was like, okay, this is going to be a pretty sick trip. So all those things combined made for a pretty easy choice overall. But Hobbs and Morgan and Mason gave me so much shit about it. So, oh, yeah. Yeah, it did not come with, like, I did not escape with that decision unscathed by any means.
I believe it. Well, a lot of respect for you being able to find kind of that life balance, because that sounds really ideal. And, yeah, I've definitely seen it in the way that you turn up to training. I mean, I think you're Canadian, so you're always just, like, happy and stuff, but you turn up with a great positive attitude.
It's a prerequisite.
attitude.
You have to be happy. At all times.
But heading into this 10K, how are you feeling for that?
I feel good. I mean, it's probably the best I've felt going into a 10. You know, it's like, obviously the big question is like over under 27 minutes, right? The Olympic standard.
The 10K is tough because the standard is 27 minutes, and it's because the field size, like, it's just comparatively like probably the hardest standard, just because the field size,
smallest field size.
What is it, like 20 something?
27 minus 8 cross country spots.
Yeah.
Is that still really a thing?
100%. 8 spots gone from cross country.
Wow.
So there's only 19 spots. Which, you know what though? The weird thing is the faster the standard gets, it actually makes getting in off of ranking more feasible. Because it's like, keep in mind when the standard was 27, 28, for example, or...
no one would get in on ranking.
No one would get in off of ranking, right? So now that's 27 flat, there's actually does open it up to like 4 or 5 guys getting
in. But even if you speak about 10K and you speak about ranking, that's just like, it's not like a nightmare, but it's just hard because there's just not that many 10Ks.
Have you run...
Right.
Have you run one in the... period yet? Like starting, was that January 1st, 2023?
I think.
Did you run one last
year? Yeah, I ran last year. I ran into like a minor setback between my BU 5K and the 10K. So I went in still trying to like, I don't know, it's kind of one of those days where I was like, oh, worst case scenario, I'll still run, you know, sub 2740 and then.
What'd like you run?
2749. So it was like worst case scenario. It was like, oh shit, maybe this is going to be worse than I thought. So it was fine. I've run 2749 twice now. Yeah, so I feel like way beyond that. 27:20 doesn't scare me. 27:10 scares me a bit, and 27 flat scares the shit out of me. So it's
going
like
13:30 is intimidating.
Yeah, so it's not impossible by any means. And you know, once you have one standard, you like think like, okay, I've got a shot another one. But I'm trying to go in laid back because I probably wouldn't run the 10K at the Olympics anyways. So to me, this is almost more of like an opportunity to possibly qualify for the World Champs in Tokyo next year.
Is that window? Is that window open?
Yeah, for the, I honestly don't even know.
For the 10K, it probably is.
It probably is.
It's probably like
18 months.
You know what's the crazy thing is?
It's wild.
I'm usually pretty good about this stuff, so I'm embarrassed to say I don't know for sure. But I'm pretty sure the qualification for Tokyo isn't even out, which is a weird thing to think about. Running a race where you're within the window, but you don't even know really what you're trying.
That's kind of like those guys that, for Eugene maybe, those guys at the end of the season before ran that 1500 and thought they had the standard because they hit the last standard, and then like a few months later, the standard changed and they weren't under it anymore.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
It would be nice if that stuff was out early enough before like the races.
It's crazy that it's not, but I guess do they base it on the year before's ranking or times, I guess? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, the marathon 10K are tricky because the window's just so big. I actually think it's like my own opinion, like more from a fan as opposed to an athlete, because if I hit the standard, I'm going to change my opinion immediately. But I think the window's too long. I hate seeing like results from 18 months still count for an upcoming race. I think it's like... I mean, I get it, and it's hard because the 10Ks run so rarely, but I don't know. I wish there was a bit of a cleaner way to do it.
Yeah.
So I guess while we're on standard talk, what is the can we talk about the qualification process as a Canadian?
Yeah, that's fine.
What does that look like?
It's
you got to run nationals?
Not necessarily. So how it works is, so the best way to describe it is the way to guarantee your spot is to run the standard and win the trials. That's the only way to like absolutely guarantee selection. Outside that, the other two spots are discretionary and running the trials is not mandatory. So you have to run a national championship as a 5K runner or 10K runner. You can run either the Ottawa 10K road champs, the 10,000 meter champs, which are on a different date, or you can run the trials. So what happens is sometimes people run one of those early races and then that gives them, like, let's say someone like Mo Ahmed, for example, like last year, I know he ran the Ottawa 10K champs, which gave him, you know, he checked that box and then he doesn't necessarily go to trials. And if you're so good that, you know, Canada's not going to not select you, then it's usually not a big deal. So the position I'm in right now is Mo and I are the only guys with the standard in the 5K. And what Canada has shown is they're like sending as big of a team as possible, which is great. So they've made it clear that like if you're in position, whether it be ranking or standard, they will select you as long as there's not three other Canadians in the same position, because that's when things get complicated. So last Olympics in Tokyo, there was four guys, maybe five guys in the mix, and ended up not being selected. But that wasn't based off a standard. That was based off ranking. And if you have the standard, it's usually like
seen above ranking.
Seen above is ranking. So I'm sitting in a good position, but I hope I don't regret saying this, because if I change my mind decision, but like even though I don't need to run the trials, because I'm going to probably run one of the national championships before then, it kind of still feels like right to go and run it, you know? Mm-hmm. I've never run the Olympic trials before, and like the balance is, it's like, okay, how much does not running it set me up for my best performance in Paris, assuming I get selected, versus like how much do I feel like I should be there, secure my selection, all those things combined. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Justin is healthy in 2 weeks, run the standard. Kieran Lum runs the standard, and all of a sudden it's like, game on. I got to go to the trials. So I'm staying on my toes. I plan to go to the trials and win. That's the easiest way to secure the bid. And, yeah, I feel confident that, like, even if two more guys run the standard like that, I'm trying to just get in the mindset that, like, okay, well, I'll just have to beat them anyways.
Mm. Yeah,
good mindset.
I think that is a good mindset to have.
Yeah, I say that here now, but yeah, it's taken me a while to
see what happens.
Yeah, well, it's like for so long, Mo and Justin have just been so much better than everybody, and you know, at their all time best, they still are. You know, we're talking about a 12:47 guy and a 12:53 guy, but you know, the faster I've gotten in that gap getting smaller, it at least feels like okay, like on the right day, I'm in the same ballpark as those guys, so. Yeah, it's really just trying to flip that switch that it's like, okay, I want to now be like the best in Canada, not trying to like just be one of the guys, you know?
Speaking about being the best in Canada, what does the Canadian 10K all-time list look like? I imagine you have Mo head and shoulders above, but then you probably have Simon Bairu, Cam Levins.
Yeah, so Mo's 26:34 is just disgusting.
Hard to comprehend.
Yeah, I get asked every year going to 10, they're like, dude, good luck, get that Canadian record. I'm like, do you know how fast that is? Like 26:30s is just, because they're on like the all-time list too, right? Like I think they're 6 and 7 or something like that.
Yeah, all-time.
Yeah, ever.
All-time.
Yeah, so.
So fast.
It'd be nice. I would love that to happen. But so it goes Mo. I think Cam's run about like just over 27:04 maybe at Prefontaine when they used to do like a really big 10K there. And then probably Simon Bairu. I don't know if he'd be next, because I don't know if Simon Bairu has run much faster than 27:30.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember, I have no idea what he ran, but I know in the race where Selinski breaks 27, he's like there hugging him at the end. So I assume he wasn't that far behind him, but who knows?
Yeah, he broke the Canadian record that day, which, you know what? It has to be faster, because I watched Cam Levins run 27:27 in college. I don't think he broke the Canadian record. So Simon Bairu must be in the 27:20s. But if you look at the list of like not just individuals at all-time performances, it's like just Mo. Like
yeah,
15. Yeah, like 26:30, 26:50, 26:50, 27 low. It's like, yeah, I think he broke like 30 when he was in high school. Like Mo has just been like king of 10K his whole career.
Yeah, he because 2012, when he went to the Olympics, was he still in college? Maybe that was his last year. He was at Wisco.
I don't think he was. I think he was a junior.
He's only a junior. Yeah.
Because I took a visit the next year and he was still in school.
Oh, wow. So he's like relatively young to be running 27:30.
Yeah, he was young. And he was like 27:30, 27:40.
Is that back when the standard was 28 minutes?
I think so. Yeah. 2012, I think it was like either 27:45 or 28 minutes.
I think it was 28. And then I think Rio, it was 28 as well.
Really?
I don't think Rio was any faster.
Just 1 minute faster.
Yeah. Now, eight years. Two Olympics late. Then it was like 27:28. Well, it's 27:10 and now 27 flat.
Is the pace this weekend 13:30? Yeah. Like, it's right on.
Yeah, and the lights, pace lights too.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is a good time to preview it a bit.
Yeah.
So the pacing, I don't know who actually like asked for the pace, but you have someone, it's such a stacked field, as anyone who's been on Instagram, looked at a list, will see. And you definitely have people who, so for example, Joe Klecker, he wants to break 27. And the way he wants to break 27 is by going out in 13:30.
Yeah.
You know, whereas someone like, I don't know, if you would or me were trying to break 27, we'd probably be like, I'd like to go out 5 or 10 seconds slower.
Mm. Yeah. I thought you were going to say faster, and I was like, no.
And have a big last like 800 or
that's
something.
That's what I would do. Yeah. I'd go out in 13 teens and then just try and hang on.
You just want to go out.
I was going to say, Ollie literally would.
Yeah, Ollie
13 teens,
would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ollie loves the regression.
I love the regression.
Just get out of here.
I definitely think
money in the bank.
The one thing that's going to be massive for this race is the pacing lights. Like, I think when it comes to any race on the track, like, I'm not a huge fan of it in the 15, but in the 10K, I feel like the pacing light's going to be massive.
Yeah, the longer the race, like,
it's
definitely
gonna be
the more
so, so beneficial, particularly when you guys go through in 13:30, because you guys are going to go through in 13:30, like, unless you take some, like, time to...
But even if there's, like, 15 or 20 guys trying to do that.
Well, totally. That's what I'm saying. You go through maybe 13:35, and you're like, oh, I'm perfect. I'm, like, where I want to be and then progress. But so having those lights there, like, knowing that's 27 minutes... That's gonna
just hopefully lead to more consistent pacing. Because often in the 10K, when you don't have lights, it's like it'll fluctuate between like 2 second range,
which is like a lot,
which feels like slowing up.
Yeah, just having the laps.
63 just is like full out sprint, you know. And
yeah, if you throw one of those in with like 15 laps to go, like that feels that's gonna feel so bad.
Yeah, it's gonna feel shit. Yeah.
So I was on the phone with Ronnie yesterday, and he asked me how many guys were gonna break 27, and I didn't know the answer because there's so many good guys in the race, obviously. But
it also hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I can't tell the future, but I like
Ronnie
to
can though. Ronnie can. Ronnie's already got
and
the list.
Ronnie
out.
Told me.
Yeah,
Ronnie
then,
told me. Ronnie told me what's gonna happen.
Yeah. But I was my guess is like I feel the best comparison I can make is I'm thinking like similar to BU in sub 13. Because there was 5 guys that did it, which doesn't sound like a lot when you've got 35 guys on the start line and it's super deep. But 5 guys breaking 27 in the same race would be a pretty big deal.
Historically,
that'd be historically massive.
I agree. I think it'd be like 3 to 5. I'd be so happy if I was wrong.
I'd be surprised if it was. I would not be surprised if it's more. Just because, like,
that's what we said in Boston too, though.
Yeah, but
it didn't happen.
But I think this is like having the pacing lights. Number one, good pacing, and I think where we are situated with in the season, I think we could see more people breaking 27 and surprising themselves, which would be fucking unreal. Like, I'm really excited to see that because I think I'm betting on that. But like you said, in Boston, we thought we're going to see a lot more sub-13s and we didn't. So it could be either or, but I'm very much putting my chips on the side of more people breaking 27 because that's what I want. I want to see like a lot of people just lose their shit.
Yeah. You know? Well, the one thing that's interesting too is it's like Grant's obviously stupid fit. Mm. And as far as I know, he's on the start list in racing.
Dumb fit. Yeah.
But it's also his American record, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm curious, you know, Grant's classic, like, oh, I'm just going to start running 60s until the end of the race. I'm curious if he goes that route or if he's like, I just want to get in and get out of this with the standard and move on with my life, you know?
That's what he said, at least.
Yeah.
Oh,
he said that he just wants to run 26:50 something, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
But I predict him just to be on the pace and then just to like destroy the last 3K. Yeah.
I predict Joe feeling like, well, wasn't able to go sub 13 in Boston, so I'm just going to do it in the 10K, the last 5K. Breaks the American record. He's like, yeah, I was feeling a bit sick in the Boston 5K, so I wanted to go sub 13 in this 10K, get the opportunity to do it.
Goes out 14 flat just to make it interesting.
Yeah, yeah,
does that count as a qualifier?
That's a good question.
There's a camera there and there's a timer.
I mean, if you went out for the first 5K.
Yeah, if you did the first 5K.
You'd probably need official split, Mark.
I don't know if I can, if this is public knowledge, but apparently they were thinking about doing that for the woman to try and find a pacemaker. To try and get someone to split the 5K standard.
Yeah, to go for it.
As like the pacemaker.
Wow.
Because that's struggling really to find a pacemaker.
Out of the box thinking there.
Okay, before we get off the pace lights, I pitched an idea to Morgan and I want to make public on the podcast because I think it's a very good idea.
Go for it.
You've got 35 guys on the start list.
You start half at the other side of the track.
No. I like that idea though too.
Okay.
That reminds me of another story, but if I keep telling stories, I'm going to waste a ton of time here. So, okay, people are going to get lapped most likely.
Yeah.
So my pitch is that if it's easy enough to program, you program like 20 meters ahead of the field, another set of pace lights as a warning for lapped runners that the lead group is coming so that they can move out.
Like a red light.
Like a red light.
It's a good idea.
So it's like...
Well, they just need like the Formula One flag. Blue flag.
You know, in Big Ten, this used to be a real rule that if you got lapped, you have to step off the track.
That's like triathlon.
I didn't know that.
In triathlon, you get lapped out. And
I
think just the bike leg. If you get lapped on the bike, you have to stop.
Just get off, yeah.
That's so
Sully has a really good story about one of his teammates trying to like get around this security guy trying to take him off the track. He like tried to duke him out. But really? And no offense to anyone, I don't want to be one of the guys I don't want to see those red lights if they happen. But you know, I just think it's a cleaner way, like especially when you're chasing a standard. In the women's race too, I think it's a massive field. It'd be really nice to just like get people like, you know, and you I think a lot of people do want to move out when they're getting lapped, but they just don't know
what's happening.
When, right?
Yeah, it's definitely just like... it's just hard.
There must be more you can program into the lights. I think in the women's race, they're talking about speeding the lights up at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Are they doing that for the men?
I don't know.
Maybe the women run like 15 flat and then the lights are going to like speed up for them or something.
The best thing about the lights is that they can't kick.
Flat. The women are going 15 flat and then they're going to speed up the lights after that.
Well, I mean, I just picked that number, but...
Because what does Alicia run? 30.04 or something like that?
30.03.
Yeah. 30.
What's she going for? 28 minutes?
Probably. Why not? It's the next natural progression.
She should just be in the...
She should be in the men's race.
Is there a men's B race?
Yeah, there is.
She should basically just be in that.
Yeah.
Up in. It's a great idea though, Ben.
Thank you.
I do like that idea. Good. Yeah.
Shout out to Sound Running if you like it. Yeah. I'll take, I don't know.
They do listen to this podcast regularly.
25% of the royalties.
They'll take into that feedback.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So I should take this moment to announce my current situation on the 10K, which is kind of annoying. It's if I was a football player right now, I'd have the big Q next to my name in if you play fantasy, I don't know if you guys do that.
I do.
Question. It's like before you...
It's the worst
like,
thing for a fantasy management to see when you wake up in the morning, you see like all your top players have the queue next to me. Like,
there's
fuck.
IR, which is like you're actually
in the
reserve. And then there's like, is there one more in between?
There's Q and O. O is out. Like you're just out of the game. Yeah.
So Q is like questionable, which is my status at the moment because I have picked up a little niggle, as we like to call them, in my pelvis area. And it's just like... I mean, I guess by the time this episode comes out, I will hopefully know if I'm racing or not. But as of right now, I'm going to do the pre-race workout tomorrow and then see how I feel. So
we can do a podcast release, sponsorship announcement, and race announcement all at the same time.
Mm. Let's make it happen.
Look how efficient it is.
A social media blast. We're going to blast them. But yeah, I obviously don't want to get injured, so trying to be smart with it. But I do really want to race. But.
Keep those adductors happy.
And you've looked great, you know. I've also been beside you.
Thanks,
man. But I hope this doesn't pour salt on the wound, but I mean, fitness doesn't go away, so whatever happens with this, the fitness is there. But you've looked, sneaky smooth, especially that one rep we did indoors, or that one workout indoors.
Mm.
Where I effectively led as few reps as I possibly could.
I had a good view from behind you guys. So.
Yeah.
There has been just an absolute squad for
We've
this
had a good
team
crew.
Getting ready.
Yeah, it's been really good. It's been very international.
I feel like I'm running the 10K as well. I've been working out with you guys for most of the week. Yeah.
Part of the preview is the OAC and OAC, what are we, like OAC Extended? Extended family of OAC.
Extended universe, like the DCEU.
Yeah,
the OACEU.
There's lots of cameos right now in training. We have our Japanese man, Kaita.
Kaita.
The 20, what is he, 21 years
he's
old?
He's like 14 20? Or something. I don't know.
The Japanese fan base has been loving my Instagram because they keep seeing it. Yeah, Keita photos.
He's been crushing it, very fit. His PB, I think, is around 27:30, but
I think it's, 27:20 something.
That's crazy for a 14-year-old.
For his... in his Ekiden, he's split equivalent to like a sub 60 half marathon. So this is kind of like his wheelhouse, I think, this 10K, even though he apparently is a 1500 meter runner. He was pitched to us as a 1500 meter runner. He hasn't
doing 26s and with me, like in that session where you guys are doing we did the miles and then the 200s.
Yeah.
200s and the miles. Yeah, we're running like 26, 25. And he was just like cruising with me. It's like shirt off. And I was like, yeah, let's take our shirt off. Took our shirt off for the last set. Did him. And then we're back to threshold. I'm like in my brain while I was just trying to ignore the threshold. I'm like, this dude's supposed to be running a 10K. He's running like 25 seconds with me.
You can do it all.
The little mix up we had today was pretty funny.
600?
Yeah. Because Kate is, you know, he's great with, like, he usually asks about the reps ahead of time. But there was some miscommunication. So we were supposed to go out in 64, and we were probably running, what, 70s? He probably thought we were running 255. So for about 100 meters, it was noticeably slow. And he, like, turned around and looked at me. I was like, 64? He's like, 64? Oh, God.
He took off.
So he probably came through in, like, 35, then, I don't know, maybe 62 or something.
Yeah, but we were not that far off the split in the end. So
yeah, we were bang on.
He sped up.
So honestly, like, that's probably a good way to run some 600 reps.
It was good. Got the heart. It made all the rest of the reps feel better.
It definitely did. But yeah, good way to do it.
Yeah, he's a stud. And he's got some rivalries in there, a few Japanese guys.
Yeah, it's a good Japanese.
There's like nine or something.
I think the current Japanese record holder is in the field as well, which I think the record is maybe 2709, something in that ballpark. So yeah, he'll have some, it's probably just all the same university guys that he always races as well.
Yeah.
So that'll be awesome. We have Jonas is running.
Reese Peace is running, Jonas?
Yeah. Swiss Maestro.
Yeah, he ran last year. He ran really well in the 27-20s, right?
Yeah.
I think like 23. Yeah. 23 or something.
He was one of the top guys after Joe and Woody ran.
Yeah. So he'll be trying to run even quicker than that this year, go for that standard. Is that it from us? Yeah. And then obviously Joe.
Mm. And then maybe Ollie.
I've been training with the 10K guys. My lactate is 0.1. So just say things are going to be interesting in the next few weeks. No, I'm not racing it. But I am very excited to watch this race because it is fun to see you boys crush it. Particularly these type of workouts. Like it's a cool event because I think you don't get to run many 10Ks, you know? Mm-hmm. So and everybody takes control that opportunity. It's not like an 800 or 1500 week and run like 14 of them in a year. This is like probably like one of a few. So
that's the other thing that's like, it's just so, if you want to run the 10K, yeah, you got to be ready to go.
Ready to go.
If you didn't
race
this 10K, then maybe you would race the night of 10Ks in like a month from now, or maybe a bit over a month. I don't think it's actually that far away.
Yeah. The on track nights?
Yeah.
The Ethiopian trials. Those are your three choices.
Yeah. Is that a pick?
Yes,
but Zetapex already happened.
Yeah. Missed that one.
They have that crazy fast 10K on the roads in Germany. That like big event.
It's quite a few fast road 10Ks.
Yeah, is that like the Adidas one?
Yeah, and they go crazy there.
Yeah, they do.
26:40s.
Really? 26:40s.
You can do that as well.
Yeah, you could do that.
That's how some people will probably qualify.
If you feel like the road is an easier place to break 27. Then that's your your place to go.
Surely it would be with the shoes.
Yeah, that's actually like a legitimate question these days.
I don't think so.
You don't think so with the shoes?
No, I don't. I mean, I just think it's like, to me, I love training in super shoes all the time, but once I get under, you know, 64 seconds, 65 seconds, it's like, it feels better to be in spikes. Mm. But I'm also pretty slow twitch, so.
Hey, I've run behind you. You got a quick twitch.
You got a quick finish.
And sometimes, you know, if when needed. So with help of George. So yeah, George and I were laughing after that BU race because we were just playing a game of chicken for the last 300. And then I got out kicked by George, which
happens.
You know, a story as old as time.
It's a support group, if you want to call them.
Some other good late ads. Well, I don't know if these are even late ads, but interesting, notable runners. You do have Woody, I believe. I think Louis G.
I just saw that little story as well that said, I feel like Abdi and Woody were always in, and then they just sneaked in Luis on the end of that.
Luis.
He's the last guy on the list right now.
I'm surprised because last year didn't look enjoyable for him.
but you know, he's got a fat stack when he breaks a quarter mile on record. So
true, probably. Abdi, and then
first race back from Luis from injury in the fall.
Mm. Oh.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Andreas Almgren.
I'm quite
excited to see.
Coming off an amazing half marathon and just
59:20 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, 59 mile. So that'll be very good from the European side of things. Not sure who else is there from Europe. Any other big names?
I know Brian Fay's in there.
Yeah.
Irish. And is Mike Floppen there?
Couldn't tell you.
Mike Floppen?
I feel like couldn't he would be, but.
Pause. I don't know. Has he ever run a 10K?
I honestly don't know. Sure, but he didn't. He didn't. He like was just off the five indoors, so I wouldn't be surprised if.
Didn't he just run a road 10 or something?
Yeah, he did. He did actually a pretty good road 10, so maybe not. Though, I mean, some really interesting people in the field are the college kids, because I believe Nico, isn't Nico racing?
There was a preview of it.
The interview with Smith at least said to TBD.
Okay.
So I think we'll just depending how the week went.
I know.
He said if it was 2 weeks away, it'd be perfect. 1 week, they were going to wait and see.
It's a tough turnaround, just emotionally.
Yeah, but it's like the perfect. It's the perfect thing for Mike Smith.
It's the best chance to get that collegiate record, which is now.
It's the perfect thing. Like a 10K, I could not think of anything better for Mike or Michael to stand at the edge of the track and just look at Nico and tell him that magic phrase.
Go to sleep, baby.
Go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
That's a perfect race for it. Like, it is. Why would Michael waste his time not putting that athlete in there so he can say that? Otherwise, his whole mantra just goes down the drain. So I'm expecting him to be there with Nico yelling, go to sleep.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll be there anyway for the rest of those guys.
I'm sure
he's not at a lot of races.
He does have like half his collective racing as well, the Mike Smith collective.
I saw Hubtum Samuel is racing from New Mexico. So, I mean, he looked decent. He looked pretty good indoors.
I'm pretty sure he ran the 10K in Eugene. Really? For Eritrea, I think.
Oh, yeah. Fred Curley also texted me. He's running the 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fred's in?
Yeah, Fred's in.
Are you having Donovan run it or nah?
Donovan's going to be... he's going to a fishing weekend in Florida. Yeah, he's not around. But he will be running the cross-country championships in Spain in a couple of weeks. I just want him to get some threshold in there.
Why run the standard when you rack up the cross-country points?
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to get one of those spots
in the 10K, my Donovan Blazer. Yeah. So, I think he's more of a 10K runner than 800. He's not very good at the 800.
He's going to be a late entry for World Cross.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. He's going to be racing Stefan Hassan.
Stefan? Did you say Stefan or Stefan?
Stefan.
Stefan again. Yeah. Really cool. I don't know who that is, but that'd be cool.
It's Stefan's alter ego.
Is that the 10?
From road to cross. Just depends.
Yeah. Well, that's the men's field. I mean, actually, it's not the men's field. There's a lot of other really good. Is Wildershield in it?
There are some. There must be some NAZ guys.
Yeah, I think he. I don't know. Why are we speculating?
I imagine every person in that field's pretty fucking good. So it's going to be an amazing race.
PBs. It'd be so much smarter for everyone to just look it up themselves.
35 man field though. So
I like that for a 10K. It's like you got some friends out there.
Yeah.
You don't want to be lonely for 25 laps.
Yeah. I was last time I ran a 10K. I don't have good. Well, I've run two 10Ks in my life. One of them was conference, Big Tens. My final year. And that one was, like, I don't even know, like, if you'd count that, because I think that was, like, a bit of a jog fest. Like, I don't know if we broke 15.
Were you wearing flats for that?
I did wear flats.
Yeah, you out-kicked the Ben Beach
kick down.
Yeah, that was actually scary, because I was wearing flats, and I think I was wearing the ones that have, I don't even know if they had laces. I think they had, like, the
zip-up thing.
I think they're pretty, like, compared to today's standards, pretty bad flats.
Yeah.
And, Ben Veach has a really good kick.
He does, actually.
Yeah. He was really sprinting at the end. And I was like, fuck, why am I wearing flats right now?
You still won, though. Yeah.
You need like a pit stop. Yeah. Like, you run a 15-minute 5K and then like change shoes.
Yeah.
You did still win that, though. And I remember like it was a bit of a social media. Like it definitely like people were like, oh, Morgan McDonald kicks down the whole field at Big Tens with flats on.
Yeah, and everyone zooms in. They're like, I'm pretty sure he's wearing flats in this race.
It was fun, though. But then the other one was not so fun because I raced... I think it was this race or a different sound running 10K in 2021. And I went out in like, I didn't even go out. I mean, that's a completely different 10K world when the standard is 27, 28. Like you just think about everything so differently. I went out probably on standard or like slightly slower and then I just died. And like, it was just one of those races where I just had a lot of people passing me like in the last couple of Ks, not a good feeling. Mm. And I was just like, I wasn't jogging it in. I did have a flight to Europe the next day and I was racing a 5K like 1 week later. So I was kind of chilling when I knew I wasn't going to get a standard, but dude, it was just brutal. Just trying to like get locked in on that pace. I was very impressed at how everyone else around me was able, especially like Joe, for example. That's the race that he got the standard in. It's like, wow, okay, this is not easy to do. It's not easy.
No, the wheels falling off in anything over 5K is a horrible experience.
It's a long way to go.
I mean, in any race, it's never fun. But when you see you have 8 laps to go and you're hurting bad,
yeah,
nothing quite like it.
Yeah.
Nothing quite like it.
So we've talked a lot about the men's field. The women's field is not quite as deep. It's been interesting. I mean, there's a lot of amazing athletes still in the women's field. It's just been interesting from our little bubble hearing the chatter about it, because for us, we should also give a shout. Like, I think the Puma guys are supplying some like amazing paces for the men's race. Like, the pacing is like pretty set. You got it all down. Where the women's race, all of like what we've been hearing is we have Alicia going for it, and then also Sige, part of OAC Extended. She's been training with us.
OAC EU.
Yeah. And they're both trying to like break 30. And it's like, how do you find a pacer to break 30? I don't know.
You can't get a bloke to do it too. It has to be.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah. It has to be a female pacer, which is kind of like, if that rule didn't exist, it'd be a lot easier for them to get that pacing.
But then every single women's event would just be so easy to run.
The marathon?
Well, exactly. They do allow.
Yeah, they're allowed in the marathon. So, fuck it, just
give
up.
Or they just have two records on the road.
The marathon is weird.
They just have women's only records and a pacemaker the whole way.
I think at one point they respected the women's only record, and then people ran so stupid fast in the mixed one that they're like, oh, fuck, like that's just so impressive. Like, we can't hate on that. So then everyone's like competing for that one.
No one cares what the women's only record is, I feel like. I don't know what it is.
No idea.
Maybe someone cares about it. I'll take that back.
People definitely would.
Comment if you.
People just run so stupid fast in the
compared to running 2:11 or whatever the hell they ran.
Yeah,
oh, Jesus,
that's nuts.
It's just insane.
Yeah. So I mean, the women's race is going to be once again very hot. Last year there were fireworks, made for some good stories.
Most of the fireworks were in the podcast.
Particularly on social media afterwards.
Do you know what we're talking
about? That's not intended.
Have you ever heard
Eilish
McGuckins?
Those two words being put together,
eyelash.
Eilish McLaughlin.
Yeah, I know her.
Yeah.
So
Ben mustn't have been on the internet that week.
So what happened was it wasn't like we talked about on the podcast after, but actually it mostly unfolded on Instagram. World Athletics did a post. I think it was a collab post with Eilish.
It was. Yep.
Eilish McLaughlin.
But I saw it as a World Athletics post, and I was like kind of frustrated because my teammate, Alicia, broke the American record and they didn't mention her at all.
Yeah, the context is the post was like really like shouting out Eilish. She sat on Alicia until the last lap.
Yeah.
And so the post didn't.
For 9,600 meters.
Yeah, so that's why I said like in this comment, I said, oh, and congratulations to Alicia Monson, broke the US record and led for 9.6K of the race. I said that. And I thought I was having a diss at World Athletics. And then Eilish McGuckins comments and just says the guy that's rode off Josh Kerr's coattails his entire career. And I was like, oh shit, she came back pretty hard. And then I re-looked at the post and it was a collab post.
Oh.
So that's why I was like, oh fuck. Because I was like, oh okay, understandable. Like I would not dare to comment that on her post.
Yeah.
I thought it was World Athletics post and I thought they weren't giving Alicia enough credit. So it kind of like, I looked like a bit of a dick and I just kind of shut that thing down. I was like, oh, like just shouting out my teammate, like congratulations, whatever. And then after that, about 400 comments from all these other people, and you know what, that comment is still getting liked today. I got 600 likes on it still.
Oh my god.
But people like just started picking sides, so either on Eyelash's side or my side, just like fucking roasting me or roasting her. So it was kind of like it was just so unnecessary. But it was great for the podcast.
Disappointing news, she's not running.
No.
Damn.
No, what is she doing?
Start lines from here. I have not seen her race for a little bit.
Yeah. She was on the roads for quite a bit.
She got injured, I think, last season.
Yeah, we got to get on the podcast.
Can you reach out to her?
I'm not reaching out.
Please,
bro.
Just extend the olive branch. Please come on our show.
That's tough.
So, yeah, most of our storyline, I know there's a lot. The women's race will be very exciting as well, but that's what's been occupying most of our airspace in regards to the
funny,
winters.
Funny
just pacer. Trying to find a pacer. Dace is
spending all nights pacing around his little rooms. Go, we need a pacer. I gotta call someone.
What are we gonna do? So, yeah, it should be.
The price is probably up to like 50K if you can. Yeah.
It's pretty much just like we'll give you half of Dathan's coaching contract if you can get a pacer for Alicia. Please, for the love of God.
Yeah. So yeah, George, you excited for a 10K race?
I was wondering if that was also going to come up, the fact that I made it quite public last year that this was the worst race of the year.
Yeah, just hide behind it. You didn't hide behind
the 10K. I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
well, I'll see you afterwards. I mean, I think this year the men's race is shaping up to be more of a race, at least, just based on the entries and the number of guys that, you know, should probably be there.
Well, last year was electric in a different way. Last year was the birth. Well, not the birth. It added a lot of fuel to the fire of the Woody.
The Woody versus Joe. Yeah.
Beef. Because wasn't there like, did they bump each other at some point?
Woody clipped Joe, and Joe was pretty
Joe
tired.
And Joe was pissed about it.
Yeah, because I think Joe was pissed because Woody wasn't taking any of the lead. Like, they were trying to push for the pace.
I remember that. Yeah. That was yeah, good yeah, drama. So. Enjoy some drama. The 10K. So.
I mean, the 10K hasn't, I wouldn't say it's grown on me in the last year.
Okay.
But I.
Check in next week. If it still should be in
the George Beamish is checking for the 10K. What would you rather watch other than the 10K?
The Bachelor, probably.
Like on the track or anything?
Just if The Bachelor was on at the same time as the 10K, what would you watch?
Taking into account that like 5 or 6 of your teammates are racing.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Well, the Bachelor doesn't need to be watched live, so I could probably...
I actually thought you were going to say you just put your laptop up and just watch it while you're watching The Bachelor. Screen. That's what I'd probably do.
Could probably handle a split screen.
Yeah, you could double bubble it. Because like you'd only have to watch the last maybe couple of K unless something... crazy happens earlier on in the race. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't know. Morgan jumps on Jonas's back and they do this piggyback method where they just run a lap each.
That would be pretty crazy if that did happen.
Yeah. What have you? I've seen you guys been practicing at training.
That's just for fun.
Oh, shit. I shouldn't have mentioned that. That's not
secret tactics.
It's a secret tactic.
You might just need a pregame.
You need to get drunker. That's the problem. Yeah. You're not drunk enough. That's how people enjoy other sports. So
yeah. Just drink every time Sound Running makes a mistake on something. During the broadcast.
Wow. Somehow Sound Running's name had to get dragged in the mud. They've done nothing wrong.
No, they haven't. But like, you know, like people have their drinking games. So it's like, oh, when the announcer says kick or something like that, take a sip. Could do something like that. Or like Sound Running mispronounces a name. Take a sip. Or like the pacing lights turn off and back on again. Take a sip.
That would suck.
That won't happen. I'm just making
turn
up.
Off and then they're just so far ahead. You're like, that'd be the worst.
That would suck. So that's our nice, fun 10K talk. Very excited for that. Should we just, I mean, we've already been talking for quite a bit, but why don't we do a little bit of a wrap-up of some quickfire NCAA highlights? I feel like these are kind of, I mean, some amazing, amazing races, but kind of easy, simple to talk about because both Nico Young and Parker Valby were successful in their double in the 3K and 5K and both just looked pretty amazing doing it. And...
they really did.
Yeah,
they looked
dominated.
Pretty unbeatable.
Mm-hmm. I was on the men's side. We were obviously cheering for on NIL member Kai Robinson, but who really caught my eye was Parker Wolf, I believe his name is from UNC. Who I've seen him, like, he's run great times, but I've never actually like watched him race before. And I was just especially like watching the 5K first. I was impressed at the way he was able to take it and, you know, put up a really good fight.
Really gutsy running. Yeah, he went with like maybe 800 to go.
Yeah, it was a bit earlier.
Just threw it down. And they actually ended up running, I think the meet record.
Which 13:25.
Yeah. And they ran two meet records. I think Nico ran meet records in both of them and closed in sub-4 in both of them.
Wow.
Wow.
Was that Abd Ahmed's meet
record?
It
was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Nico is already really good and probably the best thing you could tell yourself before this meet is that like, okay, maybe the 400 to go, I can beat Nico. But now that he closes in 54 point,
I know.
sub-13 guy that can close a 54 point is a big fucking problem.
Yeah. He broke 150 at conference a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, he split 149. Or no, he just ran 140. He was entered in the 800 and he ran 149, I'm pretty
sure.
What
can he do?
Yeah.
If he runs 149 and then 26:59 within like a month, that'd be pretty sick range.
Yeah, that's...
he needs to get... I just need to get one. I cannot get over it. He does not have an NIL. His twin brothers have an NIL with, what shoe company is it? On?
I believe.
Yeah, it's On, right? Yeah, that's right.
What's that brand
Nico
called?
Nico doesn't have an NIL. This dude does not have an NIL. Companies, what are you doing? Sponsor this man.
Remember he had
maybe they thought they were signing Nico.
They decided two. We got two Nikos now. We got two of them.
That has to be his choice, no?
It definitely is. It definitely is. I'm just making fun of it, but like he's extremely valuable now. So like it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
He's been valuable the whole time.
That's what I said. That's why
since
I'm like
high school.
Like, why is he not going to NIL? But it must be his decision because surely he's been offered.
He had that early meat and cheese one.
He also had a Spindrift one, which I was like, I remember talking about in the pod.
We were super mad about that.
I love Spindrift, and I like, how the fuck did he get that NIL? But well, good for him.
I don't think it matters. I think he's going to sign a big enough contract pretty soon that
he can buy as much Spindrift and meat and cheese as he wants.
NIL will match up to what he's going to be doing. But amazing racing. The miles were also very exciting as per usual. Some cool drama in the heats with people falling over, which was pretty crazy.
And the final.
People were falling.
People fell in the final?
Yeah.
Oh, Gary Martin fell in the final.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. He hit the ground
with like 50 meters to go.
Yeah. Sorry, Gary.
Which is, he's been fun to follow this year because he's really starting to like come into his own.
Yeah, well, that was just a really impressive race. I mean, Luke Hauser, I think is that his name, Washington kid?
Yeah.
Went to the front with like 800 to go and just started winding it down. And everyone was just like chopping at the bit.
It's crazy no one could get by him.
No,
but it was 153.
Did you see his splits? They were nice.
153, 800.
Just cut down?
Right? Yeah.
Really?
He cut down really well.
You and I were talking about this on the run the other day, is what's impressive about Luke is it's really hard to detect any sort of like pace change.
He looks like he's running.
Never looks that fast.
It never looked that fast.
No.
He splits, his last 800 was something like 30, 28, 27, 26. It was like really nice cut down. So.
That's like from the Prefontaine movie. When he races Frank Shorter. He does that.
Yeah. Like Adam was like, Spencer, he was just like trying to get around him.
Well,
but he was just speeding up the whole time.
We hate to see the Wisconsin guys lose a national championship.
Well, he made it. He looked like
shout
he was.
Shout out to Adam.
Yeah, shout out to Adam for runner up. That's pretty unreal. He made a move that I thought was like, oh, he's got it, and then he just couldn't go again.
Mm.
It just you kind of like what you guys said, underestimate like how quick they're going near the end. Because the funniest thing I saw on social media, and I have to bring it up, the high school mile champion for some New Balance, like the seventh national championship. You have seven national championships in high school. I don't know how the fuck you call it national championships.
It's faster.
Like seven of them. He ran 4 minute flat, and all these high school kids, particularly like people that follow that, are like, faster than D190s. Like, this kid's like the next generation. Yeah. And people are like, you have no concept of what the middle distance running is at championship racing. Because if you did and you watched it, you would have seen it was more of a tactical affair than running a fast time.
You know what?
Did you see they also had pace lights?
Yeah, I saw that as well. Because I was but it's still good.
High school nationals.
And then I watched a video and he had pace lights.
It is actually shocking. Like, it's pretty unbelievable how hard that concept is for someone that's not an endurance athlete to understand. Because I used to get the same thing when I was in high school. Because I remember like Mac Fleet. I think it was Mac Fleet or Andrew Weeding. Shout out on. But one of them won. It couldn't have been Mac Fleet because he's not old enough. It had to be Andrew Weeding. Anyways, he won like 350. In Eugene for the 1500, closed in probably what 50
USA's or NCAA's?
NCAA's.
Mm-hmm.
And I got DMs being like, because I ran like 3:48 or something. Everyone's like, dude, you could have won this. And it's just like,
I had a good one in my last year running New Zealand champs. I haven't run since. Was in 2015, right after I finished high school, and I won like junior 1500, and I ran 3:49.
Yeah.
And Willis was back running nationals. He's bloody good at coming back for nationals. I have a lot of respect for that. And he won the senior title in 3:50.
Yeah.
So like I ran like half a second faster or something. I was like, oh, he's ran faster than Nicholas.
Dude, it's so hard to understand.
Dude, the Matt Centuwitz, when he won the Olympics, I remember kids people that I knew in my life saying like, you could have won the Olympics. I was like, no, that's not how it works. Like, just because he ran slow time, like you have to like, they're like, I don't get
it's
it.
Funny,
like, you just run, you could just go run like that time you would have won. I was like, yeah, but it's very hard to explain. You're 100% right.
It's even harder when someone has that mindset to explain why you're traveling all the way to like the other side of the world to try to run a fast time.
Yeah.
To like, why don't you just go to the high
school? Why don't you just do the high school track?
Yeah, right? So funny.
A good point.
Sometimes I'm like, honestly, maybe I should do that. Yeah,
really saves a lot of money. And also,
am I just not that good?
Worry about the jet lag? Yeah.
And then on the women's side, Maya got it done. Congrats to her.
Yeah, Maya looked great.
That's a huge couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
do you imagine running NCAA championships? 2 days ago?
After a week after, being in Glasgow. That's crazy.
I feel like you could have done it. I don't think the 15s were
help that it was in Boston. Like, it would have been difficult to do if it wasn't in Boston.
Just because it's an easy place to get to?
She goes to Harvard.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah,
and her conference meet was also in Boston. Yeah. So that helped the situation, but still a huge couple of weeks. And the girls also broke meet records, mile, 3K, and 5K.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously two of them were Parker, but Sweeping them.
How many miles a week do you reckon Parker's
maybe eight
cross training?
Two. No? Because eight was sub two.
I don't know, actually.
It might not have been a championship record.
I missed the eight.
Yeah, because it was 159.7.
That's quick.
That is kind of fast.
That is quick, yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Indoors.
Whittaker,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. On. Oh, yeah. Two on NILs. Mm. They and the
Q's getting his job done.
And now the girl who sent that letter, third in the mile. Two New Zealand went 1-3 in the mile. Yeah.
Do you see the lap count in the medal table
yeah.
thing?
Yeah, we're.
I love that because above, they're like above Australia. NCAA.
Is that what you wanted to point
count?
Out? That New Zealand was above Australia. I appreciate
that.
So,
yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
I mean, they're above the medal count.
What was Canada
in world champs as well? So like, we don't need to go through that again.
We had won in both.
What was the cricket again, George? You remember the cricket where we fucked you guys up in the cricket? Do you remember that?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, I bet it doesn't.
Is that one 400 guy? Is Canadian?
Morale. Yeah, you're right.
He's well been going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The world record. That wasn't
it is
the
funny
world
that Sidious right. Citrus did that medal tally thing, thinking like, "Oh, the international medal tally for NCAA champs," and then everyone's like, "Oh, America crushed it." I was like, "Yeah, no shit, it's in America. It's an American school system."
I mean, America also they crushed do. Worlds.
Yeah, I know, but it's just funny that they put that up, thinking that any other country had a chance other than the US.
It's interesting to see how international it was because it was very international.
It was, yeah.
It was a long list of countries getting medals, like different countries. So that was cool.
It was pretty cool.
Throwback to the days where NCAA actually had all Americans that were just Americans.
Mm. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Makes
so
sense, though.
If you're international and top
well,
20,
what about
doesn't
what
matter.
About the streak of non-Americans winning the NCAA cross? There was a streak for a while where an American didn't win till Mance, right?
Yeah, Galen to Connor Mance. It
must have
been 10 years.
It was quite a while.
Yeah. That's actually crazy.
You want to know a funny story? Jacob Thompson came up to me after NCAAs in the 10K. He said, "Dude, you're the first American to win this in the past, like, I don't know, since Galen Rupp." I was like, "Oh, I'm just a white dude. I'm Canadian."
Close.
Yeah. Canadian, eh?
Yeah. That happens quite a bit, though. I mean, sometimes on the roads, two people get pumped. That Falmouth, a lot of people were like, "Wow, it's so cool to see like an American win this year."
You could have been like, "Oh yeah, North American,
North American,
yeah.
I'm from North America.
So, well, I got one more story actually about that.
Please,
but because Falmouth was dominant, so Stephen Sambu won Falmouth 4 years straight, and even before that, like Kenyan domination at Falmouth Road Race. So locals who don't understand distance running, you know, to them they just are always used to seeing Kenyans win the road race, not knowing the athletes super well and everything like that, but. The first time someone Hannah's mom told her friend that Hannah was dating the winner of the Falmouth Road Race, she's like, "Hannah's dating a Kenyan?" She's like, no.
It's just Ben.
Yeah.
And then you come to the door, it's like, "What's up?"
Yeah. So it's pretty
close.
Funny.
You know some guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that is good. That is good. So that's our very quick NCAAs wrap up. Amazing. Amazing couple of days of track action as per usual. I think we have to really quickly... Do you want to talk about NAU?
We can do that.
No, please, sorry.
Well, were you going to like hype them up for getting fourth or like say they didn't?
No, I was going to say congrats. But no, then
that,
I was like.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Didn't we get fourth?
I think we got fourth. Yeah. I think we tied indoors? Fourth.
We tied fourth with Stanford.
You guys were fourth too? Wait, what year?
2019.
Oh, when you guys were there.
Yeah. We had a big, big weight throw come through for 6 points.
Oh, you need something.
It was like distance and weight throw.
Yeah.
Well, we actually mostly. I mean, Nico putting up 20 points, I guess that's how you put up 20 points that year too. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
I have one bone to pick with NCAAs that I cannot stand and I think ruins the watching experience.
There's no 10K in indoors?
In the 200 and the 400. They got to get rid of those fucking sections. Yeah. I don't want to watch it if you don't know who wins at the end of the race. Just make a six-person final. It's not that different. Like, imagine they did that world champs and the winner of the race was like, I don't know if I'm world champ, but we'll see in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
It's terrible for the fans, like for the viewers. And it's not that different having six people compared to eight.
They must
just fill the lanes.
For All-American reasons, no?
I imagine so.
I imagine it's an All-American thing.
It's just kind of annoying.
Like the first team, second team.
Because it does take away
American
from it
stuff.
For sure. But do they have the heats even or do they have like the slow one and the fast one?
They must have them even, I'm guessing.
I thought it was slower in a fast
I thought it was
one.
Seated.
Oh, is it really? Oh.
Yeah.
Because the 4x4, I think, is seated. Because that makes... The 4x4 makes more sense. But in the 200 and the 400, the, like, top three all came from different heats. Like it would be like the first place came from the first heat and then the next two people that heat and then fourth was the other heat.
Mm.
That's a good bone to pick.
I'm with you. I think fewer races is better.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Better know who wins as soon as you cross the line.
Yeah. Like, and then it's boring because they're not really celebrating winning in silver lanes. Like, it's just a time trial and let's see what the other guy ran.
Oh, yeah. We know how Jordy feels about
we
time
do.
Trials. Yeah,
we do. We do indeed.
We do.
Love a good time trial.
So if you guys want to change that for next year, that'd be great.
please. But yeah, I think we have to check in with our friends Kermit the Josh, Jakub.
Jingy.
And
I mean, at this point, it does feel like it's off a reality TV show. It definitely feels like this is like a reality TV
experience. Almost want to say like this is the last time we ever talk about them again because I don't know if like I'm like 95% sure like they've made an agreement to like
I agree.
Because think about how much they're dominating the news cycle. They're like, all right, let's just like say something inflammatory like once a week to a news article and then everyone will just be talking about us constantly. Like, because previously to get that attention, you would have had to have a really good race. And now they don't have to race and they just talk and it's just amazing.
Mm.
So I think they have some
agreement. Be like an unspoken agreement.
Technically did win Worlds, but I do agree with that. I think it's funny because particularly like the quote from Jingy was
Jakub's comments are just so
just
out of pocket.
So out of pocket. The comment from Jingy is like, oh, the reason why Josh like stopped giving him this attention, like the reason
he said like people like Josh craves this attention.
The Norwegian translator, he's in on it too.
Yeah.
Must be. That guy's definitely in on it.
Because he said this about Josh. He's like, oh, he's literally looking for something that he doesn't have in himself. Or so it was like, so I don't think I've translated that correctly, but some version of that.
It's very personal.
Very personal thing to say about somebody that you only know like competing.
Yeah.
You don't really know Josh personally. Unless they like have some sort of FaceTime chat every week to divulge these plans.
To plan it all out.
But it's kind of crazy. And then it just keeps going back and forth.
Well, Jakub also had some interesting comments about doping, which I think maybe we save for another time.
I knew there was something.
Like, yeah,
cool. That was like pretty interesting. But then, so today, what was the update? Was on Citrus Mag or wherever they announced some of the field for the Bowman Mile pre-classic, and they announced it just through the lens of essentially Josh Kerr and Jakub's beef, and then they also added Jared in there as well. It's just
like they threw him on the back page.
Yeah, I think he's just like watching them, and he's like, "Yeah, I ran 3:43 here last year." But
you know when you go to the movies and it's like Tom Hanks and like you know like fucking I don't know. Tom Hanks, Margot Robbie, featuring Will Smith. Yeah. Like, literally, Jared is the Will Smith. Like, even though he ran 3:43 last year and almost beat Jakub, he's just a fucking side note because of this beef. It's really funny.
Kerr had a good...
I think they should have saved Jared's announcement.
Yeah, they should have just not put Jared in.
Should have been separate.
It was kind of weird how it was done. But then Kerr had a good Instagram where he said, time to get back to what I'm best at the world at. And I said that terribly. That didn't make sense. But you guys
what
know what
I'm best
I mean.
In the world at, yeah.
So
but it's
not
a mile. It's
down.
Not 15.
It is a mile.
So why the fuck would he say that? Because he didn't win the mile at the World Champs. He won 1500.
Okay, that's exactly. So Jared was telling me about this and he's like, last time I checked, there's not a mile World Championships.
this is where Jared should have commented that on his post. It would have been so good.
Yeah, I think Jared should try and get in on the beef.
No, he wants to be above it. That's his.
But he is above it right now.
That's the thing.
He is not, above
it. I shouldn't even say he wants to be. He's like, he is. That's his take on it. Mm. So he just finds it funny.
I mean,
it's
going to
be
honest,
a great press conference.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic press conference. And I mean, the rest of the field hasn't been announced, but it's a pretty good field, I imagine. So it'll be fun to see them all line up for that one. It's always a good race, Pri.
Yeah. So that's our weekly little check-in with the boys.
And there'll be a film crew with him.
Yeah, that's the other big announcement today. Do you want to explain it?
I read it about 2 seconds before sitting down for the podcast, but apparently Jingy... Amazon is following Jingy and his brothers.
Mm.
I don't know where his brothers are going. I assume they're just following Jingy around.
I want to see what Philip's up to.
A new...
Fingy?
Yeah.
I haven't heard much of Fingy recently.
And you keeping up with the Ingies.
Keeping up with the Ingies. Ingy Blitzkrieg.
So we'll see if we can get on that.
Yeah.
We should try and get like a couple of features.
We should try to take the position of like Will Buxton. Is that his name? He's the guy who his job on the Drive to Survive is like to explain everything that's happening to like the fans.
We could honestly take that job.
So we should just be like the commentators and everything.
Yeah, we should DM Amazon.
Let's try and get that, Rob. But yeah. One thing we missed is Ollie has a nickname for Ben, which I don't think you've said yet.
I haven't said Ben's nickname. Oh, I went through it with manager Tom Wangatang.
I thought it was,
had to bounce it off the manager.
Yeah.
I did have Ben Only Flans.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, a Ben Only Flans. But like, you're such a good bloke that I kind of was going to do Ben Flagstaff, which wasn't as good.
What is it?
Flagstaff. Yeah. As Flagstaff. Flagstaff.
I like option one better.
Yeah, Ben Only Flans. It was fun. I mean, me and Tom went through a few names.
I think Only Flans is pretty good.
Yeah, so we did that is good.
And like, you're like a chef that makes flans.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just because I have an Only Flans account. No, I'm just kidding.
But your Only Flans account is just purely like really nice, wholesome Canadian
content.
Someone who doesn't understand the concept of Only Flans just thinks it's like a nice like live chat.
Exactly. But still covering the names. It's funny though, because I notice when we have guests on, I don't use the name as much, but when we're referencing them, it's so much easier to use.
Yeah.
That seems fair.
But that's I've christened you with that name.
You have my consent to use it.
There we go.
Like.
I have consents for Ben's Only Flans.
Yeah, that's totally
Gus
fine
will set up the account.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Ben, is there anything else you would like to cover before you leave? One thing maybe is just like your breakdancing career perhaps.
Oh
yeah. Can you, and your breakdancing partners?
My breakdancing partner. So Morgan saw my breakdancing live.
Can I just get it from my point of view first?
I'm embarrassed that you probably will.
So picture this. You're in Latvia.
I'm there.
Already. I feel like everyone's seen this video too.
You're in the basement of a hotel. They're handing out, there's a situation where they're handing out free Prosecco, but water costs $10. People are getting very drunk.
That's an easy decision to make.
But pretty much it was like, I was actually like a banger of a DJ down there playing just good tunes. And then you got a bunch of awkward kind of runners, just a little bit tipsy, get dancing. And then just like from time to time, these little dance circles will form. But then there was no one that was able to step up and take control of this dance circle except for Ben Flanagan. And every time, this happened three times.
Yeah, too many.
Three times I saw him walk into the middle. Pause, look around, make sure he had everyone's attention, build a little bit of tension, and then just fucking whip out some great break dancing. And like, were you doing the worm as well? A lot of worms.
Well, here's the problem with doing this routine three times. It's because it's only one, like I only have one routine.
Yeah.
And anybody who has ever been with me at a bar in which I've had more than 1.5 beers to get me to a level that, you know.
That's breakdancing level right there.
Breakdancing level. Yeah.
Did you whip it out at your wedding?
Oh, yeah. The wedding, though, so.
Wait, whip out the breakdancing. That's what we're going on about. What we're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about the breakdancing, George.
Exactly.
Just making that clear.
That's what I was talking about.
Okay, just making sure.
So it did happen at the wedding. So, okay. So for context, I took breakdancing. I have two aunts that owned dance studios growing up. And I have some cousins that are very, very good dancers. I'm not one of them. I'm not a good dancer. And we talked about this on one of the runs, is that the older you get, the bar is very, very low to impress people with your dance moves. So I'm a terrible dancer, but I have enough of a routine that I can get the people going.
Right.
So I have one set routine, which means when you picture me doing this three times, the third time, everyone's like, okay.
I loved it.
I think we've all kind of know what we're getting into. But it was probably about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, where I did the routine and Hannah was like, it's getting a little flat, you know? And I was actually appalled.
You got to hit the studio.
Yeah, what the fuck do you mean it's getting flat? Like, the worm isn't like
this is why you married me.
Yeah.
You married me for a running career.
Yeah, exactly. So the wedding, like I put everything, like risked my whole season, everything I had into the worm. And it was like, I got a video of it and it was pretty good. Because the video in Riga, that was ugly.
That was probably the third time. So
yeah,
you're probably a little tired.
So, and Hobbs won. So I was like, it was classic. I was like, all right, whatever. I'll go have a beer. Had three beers, and then you come downstairs and the Proseccos are just being handed up by the glass, and then you lose count pretty fast.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So anyways, if you ever want to go to a bar, see it live. I'll probably do it once. Yeah. Three times was an anomaly.
Make sure you're there for like probably the last race of the season and you'll get the full show.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about the fun fact? You had a famous breakdancing
That's
partner.
Right. I was in the same breakdancing class as Justin Bieber.
There you go.
All-time fun fact.
There you go.
So
that's a legendary fun fact.
That's a pretty good fun fact.
That's top tier.
How often did you dance with him?
We were in the same, just breakdancing, because I took other dance classes as well, which I don't show that off quite as much. But he's from Stratford. It's about 45 minutes from Kitchener. That's where I'm from. and he was like kind of like testing out studios. So he came in for a bit of a trial phase. And we didn't think anything of it. He was good and whatever, and he sang and did his thing.
How old are we talking?
Probably about like somewhere between like 10, 11. So pretty young. And then when his song One Time came out, it's like OG tune that got him famous. They like went and like found the paperwork and like hung it up in the studio. It was like a big thing. So
that's pretty cool.
Pretty nuts. That so cool. Yeah, he doesn't text me back.
But keep trying.
Yeah, the more embarrassing thing is he was actually a better hockey player than me. Like I saw him at a hockey tournament and I was like level 4.
He loves hockey.
I saw he was on the ice with some NHL team recently.
Yeah, he was at the All-Star game.
That was is that what that was?
Yeah.
That was sick.
But he's legit. He actually played pretty good hockey.
Yeah. Apparently he's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, so
damn.
Yeah, it was
just Canadian things.
Yeah, crazy.
That's so cool.
The more you know.
Well, Ben,
that's
thank
a
you.
Great way to close it out.
Yeah. No better. I think that's probably going to be like our top guest story like, of all time. That's going to be very hard to top. But
I appreciate that.
Ben, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been awesome sitting down once again, chatting with you, chopping it up. It's been amazing having you here for training. So very excited to see how this this weekend goes. For everyone listening, thank you so much for listening to another episode. I think 128 it is.
Wow.
Yeah. Big numbers. Big numbers. But yeah, that's it from us. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Bye-bye.
25 laps coming soon.
Oof. Hell yeah.
Boys from Coffee Club.